want to look tonight at two phrases. They are found, obviously, in Psalm 23, but the first one is the last part of verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can gather together. We pray you will bless this time that we look at the Word of God, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a song we all love, and it stresses our first thought in the message tonight, and he goes like this. And have you ever heard it before? He leadeth me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still tis Christ's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Thus, our first thought of our text stresses not only that he leads us, but it stresses that he leads us for his name's sake. Let me give you a sentence that will speak of our first section. We must understand that God leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I wonder how many professing Christians really allow the Lord Jesus to lead them day by day in the paths of righteousness. Surely we ought to allow him to lead us in the pathway of righteousness. Does not Proverbs 3:6 tell us that God commands us to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will then direct our paths? And what are our paths? The paths of righteousness. But we will only be able to walk in the path of righteousness as we are knowledgeable of his great grace and mercy to us. And again, Proverbs 4:26 commands us, we're to watch and be careful where our feet go and what they do. And God, by that means, will establish us in our ways. What are our ways? In the paths of righteousness. And again, Proverbs 4:27, do not turn to the right nor to the left. We're to stay on the straight pathway, the pathway of righteousness, and we are not to turn to any pathway of sin. God leads us in the paths of righteousness, not in the paths of sin. Proverbs 4:27 tells us to turn our feet away from evil. That is, do not go to the places of sin. Such places get us into spiritual trouble. But we're to stay on the paths of righteousness. Again, Psalm 5:8 commands us to let God lead us in righteousness because of our enemies. We're going to be in a lot of trouble if the Lord isn't leading us and we bump into the enemies who are even those sent by Satan. We are to be sure God is leading us on the paths of righteousness, or we will ourselves be falling into the pathway of the enemies and even an unrighteousness which the enemies will bring to us. And Psalm 5:8, make your way straight before me. We're to walk a straight path before the Lord, because if we leave God's pathway of righteousness, we will find ourselves walking in the pathway of sin. And the pathway of sin can get us in all kinds of trouble. God leads us in the paths of righteousness. And Psalm 16:11, God will show me the path of life. Yes, we must ask God to show us the path of life that he would have us to take, which is to say, sometimes the path we're to take is not too clear. But God will direct us if we will only follow him. And if we follow him, he will lead us in the paths of righteousness. Again, Psalm 32:8, God will instruct us and teach us the way we should go. Again, we must allow God to teach us as we're traveling our road of life. And we should follow God's instructions concerning what roads we're to take and what roads not to take. And we're not to think we're wise enough to take the right road in our own choice. Be sure we're walking as we do follow the Lord in the paths of righteousness. If we are not in the paths of righteousness, we're not following the Lord. And again, Psalm 37:23, my steps are ordered by the Lord. And if our steps are ordered by the Lord, then we had better follow those steps as he orders us to go. For if we go any other routes in life than the steps he has given us to take, then we get into great difficulty and sorrow. And may I say, the one you marry is one of the greatest paths of God's guidance you'll ever face in your life. Many people marry the wrong persons because they did not follow God's leadership and choice for them. And that is a very sad thing. And Psalm 119:105, your word, the Lord's word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Which is to say that if we walk not by the word of God, we are not walking the light. We're walking in the darkness. And we're not walking in the paths of righteousness. And Proverbs 5:3-6, there's a lot of these verses in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And that path will be the path of righteousness. And Isaiah 48:17, I am the Lord your God, who leads you by the way that you should go. And again, Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide me continually. Our Lord promises us that he will guide us continually, but that promise is only possible if we follow him and are walking in the paths of righteousness. And we could point to so many other verses. If I follow Jesus, John 8:12 says, I shall not walk in darkness, but I will have the light of life. And again, John 10:2-5, this is just a summary of it. Jesus goes before me and I follow him, for I know his voice and he leads me in the paths of righteousness. And on we could go. Surely we have seen that as the main text says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his own sake, and we are to follow him. Let me set before you some other verses of our song. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, doesn't matter what it is, problems, difficulties, trials, heartaches, sorrows, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since it is thou that leadeth me. He leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. His faithful follower I must be, because his hand he leadeth me. And then there are some other verses of other songs. One song, down in the valley with my Savior I would go. Here we're walking in the pathway of righteousness. It'll take us down the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown is won. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. You see, in the first of these verses, we go down in the valley where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. But down in the second verse, we go down in the valley where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. So the Lord leads us sometimes through many different kinds of situations. With his hand to lead me, I will never, never fear. Dangers cannot fright me if my Lord is near. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close behind my Savior, would my heart ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where we gather, thank you, in the rest of God. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. That's exactly what the book of Psalms 23 says. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on. We cannot deny it. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Even as I walk on the paths of righteousness, I am only following him. And we must follow him in our walk as a Christian. But we must also understand, and this is our second thought, that God leads us through sometime, someday, somewhere, some hour, through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet, the psalmist says in this passage, I will fear no evil. Even though the Lord leads me through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yes, that sounds like the most frightening hour of all of the sheep's life, our life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Do you realize if Jesus tarries, all of us will walk through the valley of the shadow of death? This is a statement that refers to that hour when we face the possibility of dying, whatever our age might be. And I've seen people die at every age, and I've preached funerals when I was a pastor of every age. Even in the 90s, I never did get above 100. And even in the teens, and even below that, even children. The reality of death faces us all. And unless Jesus comes before our hour of death, death lingers for us, yes. And a few days, a few months, a few years of suffering, and we go to be with the Lord. Sometimes people go to be with the Lord instantly, no suffering. But some hang on for a long time. I can't explain those things. That's the Lord. He takes care of those things. I suppose most of us would rather face death. Were we dying? Were we on our deathbed? Get it over with. But is it not true that sometimes one lingers for a while in sickness while the Lord calls others home around us? But the assurance is stated very clearly in this verse when it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's as simple as that. When the hour comes for each one of us to leave this world, when the hour comes for us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with us, and we should fear no evil. But it must also be remembered that many times before we die, we also walk through the shadow of some experiences that are almost an equivalent to death. We can suffer under some disease, some shadow of some experiences that are almost equivalent to dying when we really don't die. And some people come close to dying and they wish they could die, but they don't die. They come back to live for a little while and then they go through it all again. Maybe we have been in times in some people's lives when they wish they could die. We were sick. I remember my mother. She just ached for the Lord to take her home. She wasn't really too sick. She just wanted to go to be home with Jesus. And so she kind of, at times, not really got upset with the Lord, but she just wanted his timing to be her timing. She wanted to go home. Yes, we can apply this passage to any moment of deep trials, or even to a time when we just know that we're better off being with the Lord. At least we think so. The Lord knows when it's really the right time for us to die. Yes, our heart is cast down as we're facing death, or we're walking through the shadow of death over us. There is the answer that we must remember. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Some people do fear dying. I will fear no evil. May that be the words that you and I learn to say, even when we might be lying on our deathbed. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's been said by many, why should death bother us when it is the gateway to heaven? And our Lord is with us when we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Someone has said, why do we call it the valley of death when it's the valley of life? Now, the Bible calls it the valley of shadow of the valley of death. But John Owen, the great Puritan writer, lay on his deathbed dying. A friend was writing some notes to his friends, and he dictated these words. Owen said to his friend, and other friend wrote, I'm still in the land of the living. That's Owen speaking. But then he said, stop, change that, and say, I'm still in the land of the dying. But I will soon be in the hand of the living, the land of the living. May that be our understanding. May that be our attitude. As long as we're in this world, we're in the land of the dying. Not really the land of the living. For is it not our body becoming weaker every day? And eventually, we will walk through that valley of the shadow of death if Jesus tarries. But remember, thou art with me in that hour, the Lord Jesus says. Yes, death can be frightening, a frightening hour. But remember, we will soon be in that hour of the living after the hour of our death. Our second observation in this area of thought is that there are enemies in the pass which go through the valley of the shadow of death. That is, if we are sick and we may be facing death, we face some kind of enemies. There's the enemy of discouragement. I'm dying. You can get discouraged about that. But my mother never did get discouraged about the fact that she knew she was dying. She was joyful. And there's the enemy of temptation and doubt. What's going on here, Lord? Lord, I don't want this. And there's a shadow of mystery and uncertainty. When and how and where, Lord? And there's the enemy of fear. Lord, I'm so afraid to die. And there's the enemy of questioning God. God, why me? Why can't I live a little while longer? And that might be the thought of a person who dies in their 50s or 40s or 30s. And there's the enemy of seeming danger. And there's the enemy of gloom. And there's the reality of not being able to use our usual means to face the shadow of death. Yes, in reality, we do face the shadow of death. Remember in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, when Pilgrim came to the valley of the shadow of death, he put away his sword. He had fought Apollyon with that sword. But when he came into the midnight of the horrible valley of the shadow of death, his sword was of no use to him. He knew he was going to die. That's Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress. And he knew when he's going to die, the sword is no use to him. Everything was so veiled and blackened in the dark valley of death. And there were to him singular forms of doubt which he could not meet with reason or arguments which faced him in the valley of death. And so he was left without courage in the valley of death. He was fearful. Surely a man can pluck up courage against something he knows. But death is something we do not know and we have never experienced. And it is one thing that man cannot change or understand as if he faces it. Yet at the hour of death, all is suspense and uncertainty unless one knows the Lord and walks by faith. For the moment of death is not a moment of sight as to what is coming next after we're dead. We don't know what we're facing. We have the promises of God. We're clinging to God's promises. We're clinging to the Lord. And if we're not clinging to the Lord and the promises of his salvation and our eternal life with him in heaven, that's going to be a sad hour if you've never settled that with the Lord Jesus and placed your faith in him. How blessed to be able to say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear none of the enemies in the valley of death." And I mentioned my mother earlier. I went by the cemetery in Columbia where she's buried today. She's buried just a few blocks from where we lived in Columbia. The graveyard is there. And I just stood by her grave. We have a marker there, but we really weren't, when you're not there every week or several months, all over the place, gravestones. And I finally found Mother's gravestone, and I stood there and just thought, her body is there, but she's not there. And that body is going to be raised someday. And she was one who could stand and say, when she was dying, "I fear no evil. I will fear none of the evils in the valley of death." And that was exactly her attitude. Every person must understand the peace of a Christian as he or she goes through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen again to the psalmist's strong speech. "Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Never mind any deadly foe along the way in the valley of death, the Lord is with me. Never mind what attack the enemy might throw at me at death, I will fear no evil, the Lord is with me. Never mind what arrow or dart or sword or lie or bomb the area hurls at us, I will fear no evil. The Lord is with me. Never mind what kind of onslaught I may face in the valley of death, I will fear no evil. The Lord is with me. Never mind what the fear and suspense and distress of my soul is facing at death, I will fear no evil. The Lord is with me. Never mind that life is short and death is certain, I will fear no evil. The Lord is with me. Never mind whatever the enemy throws at me when I'm dying, I will fear no evil. The Lord is with me. I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, peaceful and quiet and calm and certain, for the Lord is with me. I will fear no evil. Is that your conviction today as you realize you too have that attitude, or you have an attitude of fear? If Jesus tarries, all of us will pass through the valley of the shadow of death. The story is told of a small lad who was on board ship, which was being buffeted by the sea, and everyone was distressed and fearful, thinking the ship surely was in peril, was the attitude of the people. All the people, including the sailors and the passengers, were full of fear. But the small boy was pretty happy and was not frightened by the tossing of the ship. Someone asked him, how could he be so calm in such a fearful hour? And he said, well, my father is a captain of this ship, and he knows how to manage these kind of things. Isn't that what we might say when we come to die? My father, he's in charge here, and he knows how to manage this thing called death. We've seen thus far, the Lord leads me in the paths of righteousness, and we're still looking at the matter of the shadow of death. Yes, as believers, we can rejoice because the Bible is filled with promises concerning death, or even concerning encouragement when we are fearful. Remember Psalm 46? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Yes, the Lord helps us in physical trouble, financial trouble, family trouble, persecution trouble, and He will be there to help us regardless at the hour of our death. In Psalm 46, 2 and 3, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shall shake with the swelling thereof, the Lord of hosts is with us. I will fear no evil, no one. In Psalm 46, 6, the heathen rage, and their kingdoms were moved as God uttered His voice, and the earth melted. But the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, which means, just think about that for a few minutes. In all of this chaos, it is the heathen or the lost who know not God. And they are the ones who should be fearful if you do not know the Lord tonight. And think of Psalm 46, 8 and following. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease into the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in pieces. He burns the chariot in the fire. Surely if God is in full control of all these things coming to pass on this earth, then we can do as the psalmist tells us to do in the next verse. And this isn't Psalm 23, but the next verse of the passage we were just quoting. Shh, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be assured that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Stop and think about that. Surely these verses speak the same truths as our text, Thou art with me. And think of Psalm 139. Just listen to what the psalmist says about the fact that God is with us. And understand that one can say after each phrase of every verse, Thou art with me. The Lord searches me and knows all about me. And I'm adding, and He is with me. The Lord knows when I sit down and when I get up, and He is with me. The Lord understands my thoughts, and He is with me. The Lord surrounds the path I take when going and when I'm lying down, and He is with me. And the Lord is acquainted with all my ways, and He is with me. Now, I'm adding that He is with me, but it goes very well with this passage. The Lord knows everything I speak, and He's with me. The Lord is in front of me and behind me, and therefore He's with me. The Lord has laid His hand upon me, for He is with me. Such knowledge, the knowledge of God's presence with me, is too high. I cannot understand it, but I know He's with me. The Lord's Spirit is with me always. I cannot get away from His presence. He is with me. If I go up into the heavens, the Lord is there. He is with me. If I make my bed in hell, the Lord is there. He is with me. If I go down into the uttermost parts of the sea, He's there. He is with me. If the darkness covers the earth, He still lights my way, for He is with me. The night shines as the day, for He is with me. And the darkness and the light are both alike to the Lord, for He is with me. The Lord was with me when I was in my mother's womb. The Lord created me in a wonderful manner, and He is with me. The Lord knew all about me as I was created in secret. He was with me. The Lord's eyes saw me, yet I was imperfect, and in His book, and all the members of my body were written down as to how they were to be fashioned as a child as I grew. Even before the members of my body existed, He was with me. He knew all about me. The Lord's thoughts of me are very precious to me and of great value. He is with me. The Lord's thoughts of me are more in number than the sand of the seas. He is with me. Each day when I wake up, He is with me. The Lord will protect me from the wicked ones. He is with me. I can tell the bloody men to depart from me because He's with me. These are all Bible verses, and I'm simply adding, for He is with me. Yes, He is with me as our life flees from us at the hour of death. But even then, at this hour, when the veil will be taken from our eyes and we will see Him face to face in that hour, and then we will truly know that He is with me. Thus we have seen some clear statements, two clear statements. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, therefore He is with me. And I will fear no evil as he protects me, for he is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's a song that I would close with today. It goes like this. When life's troubles o'er me sweep, when the waters are so deep, when the road is rough and steep, he'll see me through. I could have said, he'll be with me. Oh, thank God of this, I'm sure. With his help, I shall endure. For his promise is secure. I could say, because he's with me, but the poem says, his word is true. When my body's filled with pain, and I'm tempted to complain, this one thing I know is clear, he'll see me through. So whatever comes my way, I will trust him, I will pray, and with Paul you'll hear me say these words so true. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Yes, may we never forget it. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, and I will fear no evil, because the Lord is with me. Do you really believe that? Do you believe the Lord is with you every moment, every second, every hour of every day, and of every year, and every 10 years, all that time? It really blows me away to understand. I'll soon be 80. Now, don't anybody say, oh, you looked older than that. The Lord's been with me all these 80 years. As a little boy, just out of the womb, the Lord was with me. And then when I began to walk, the Lord was with me. My mother taught me about Jesus. But even before I was able to talk or understand talk, the Lord was with me. Through my childhood days, the Lord was with me. Teenage days, the Lord was with me. Through the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, the Lord has been with me. And I don't know if I'll make it to the 90s, but I soon will make it to the 80s. And I can say, the Lord willing, the Lord, if I make it into the 80s, I know the Lord will be with me then. However far I'm in this world, the Lord is with me. And as I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with me. Oh, that's so precious, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've been so gracious to us. Sometimes we don't really understand how wonderful you are, but one of the greatest actions you ever put forth for us was, first of all, for us to be born. And then as we came forth, we were yours. The Lord was with me in every moment, every second of every hour, of every day, of every year. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we know the day's coming when you'll call us home. And we know you're with us and will be with us then. Help us to rejoice. Help us to praise you. Help us to thank you. May we not be discouraged by the mundane things of this life. Yes, they look like such mansions and such great difficulties, but even in the midst of all the difficulties and trials and heartaches and sorrows, may we never forget, the Lord is with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, and we trust you, and we know that you will continue to not only keep us, but you'll continue to keep us in the faith that you gave us in salvation. As we continue to look forward to seeing you face to face, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done for us. We pray in your name. Amen.
Remember Dwight Stone, who you know, the best evangelist I've ever been around. I mean, as far as the gift of evangelism, when he was doing his work in the Hickory area, Newton Conover in the area around Hickory, when he was witnessing to people, he got to the point where he said he'd talk to everybody that he could talk to, which is quite a deal. But he said one thing that he found was very effective in getting people to hear the gospel and be concerned is death. He said people are concerned about their death. You can see it in the magazines, on the news. People are saying how you can live longer, how you can live better, diseases, how you can be healthier, whatever. Problem, of course, is what they say is healthy this year. Next year they'll tell you it's bad for you, but that's a different situation. But people are concerned about death. They want to know how to be done with it. And as Doc has said, the only way to be able to conquer death is through Christ who conquered death. No one else has. No one else will. We either pay for the sin with death of our own or we, by faith, are appropriated into Christ's death. And his righteousness is imputed to us. So I have. Doc said you hadn't gotten a 100-year-old funeral yet, but I did my grandmother's funeral. She was 100. So I've gone all the way from a baby who didn't get out of the hospital to 100 years old. So death comes upon everyone. So everyone is concerned about what to do about it. If we can face death without fear and with excitement and joy, What a great offer that is of the gospel. People really do want that. And only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ provides that. So, well, let's all stand. And we'll be dismissed. David, would you dismiss us?